How we doing, gang? It is another episode of Ed and Ken's mini podcast. What's happening, Ken Jordan?
What is going on, Ed? Big news. I forgot to tell you this in our pregame here, but I'm rolling out a new Instagram account. I'm moving away from Real Name Bill, which a lot of people know. My Instagram is Real Name Bill because my real name is William and blah, blah, blah. And I have a new Instagram. It's going to be hyper-focused on mortgage, hyper-focused on real estate, training, sales, leadership, all that stuff. KJ the Closer, KJ dot the Closer, which was my nickname at Yellow Book, by the way.
Whoa.
So I thought I'd bring that back and, you know, I'm excited. So follow me on Instagram at KJ dot the Closer.
I think I either followed you or I blocked
you. Just
you.
Did.
I can't remember which one I did, but
nah, you just did. Yeah, it's. I haven't done much on there yet, but I do intend to really lean into that account with stuff like this, stuff like the stuff we're going to talk about today, and stuff we're going to do at this event on November 10th. Shout out, right? Remember November 10th? Sounds like we have a lot of big names coming to this thing, man.
There's sick talent that is already signed up for it. Just sign up for it. It's free. It's going to be the real deal, real and raw. And great guest speaker, Mike Cianci, will be there. You'll be there. I'll be there. The agents that have already signed up, they're just great human beings that happen to do a ton of business. It's going to be really good, man. It already is great. Yeah, but it will be, it's a very small venue. It's the classic diner banquet hall in Fraser or Malvern. I think at max, it's like 48 people. And we're going to be, by the end of today, it'll be at capacity. So don't waste time. Jump on it. Yeah.
We'll put the Eventbrite in the show notes. Don't forget, we're supposed to say show notes.
Yes, and you can never say unpack anymore.
I did it. I know. I did. I won't do it.
You always put that in the show notes. Our show notes are very important because big wigs like us use show notes, but big wigs don't use the word unpack.
No, we do not. At least I do not. Not anymore anyway. Anyway, let's move on.
So speaking of Instagram.
Yes.
I challenged myself November 30th, just out of nowhere. Not challenge. It was more of an experiment. What would 100 pieces of social media content in a week look like? And what would it do? So it's some videos, some quotes, some just documenting stuff. And right now I'm right around 65 in the last 5 days. I already picked up two big pieces of business because of the content that I put out. I needed somebody and bam, you popped up into my feed and I saw the video. You said what I needed. Done.
So that was 100 pieces in a week.
100 pieces of content.
Across all platforms.
All different. Yeah. Well, yes. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn.
Okay.
And I think actually it would be more than that because I know one feeds into X automatically. So I'm probably already at 100 pieces. Yeah.
Wow. That's cool, man. Let me know how that plays out. And if you're anybody that's listening that wants to go for that challenge, I think it's awesome. We already know there's a kid out there doing that 100 open houses in 100 days. And I think that's going well for him. Those kind of overwhelm exercises, I think obviously 100, sometimes it's not sustainable if you're one person, you're not paying somebody to do it, but making those big pushes, making those really, you know, overwhelming action, they always move the needle. Always.
Yeah.
So that's
brain, in the CrossFit world, we call it brain off, body on. So it's like, don't let me think about doing it. Let me just copy this picture, post it, and go, this was a great memory of me and Helen back 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's a great quote. Hey, gang, what do you think of this quote? Like, don't overthink things. Just content. So far, it's showing me that content wins business. The best don't get the business anymore. best known.
Get the business.
Yes. All right. What do we got, dude? I cut
you off. Preach. I want to talk to you. It's interesting because I have been, you know, contemplating, reflecting on a concept, and obviously you being the smart, highly intelligent human that you are, I wanted to get your take on this because I'm sure you're going to be able to put some color behind it. But I heard a line the other day that, you know, when a person that says, I want to quit smoking, or a person that says, I want to be a non-smoker, and they're totally different statements. I want to quit smoking. I want to be a non-smoker. And it got, it, you know, the conversation went down to identity and how interesting it is that we as humans will protect our identity at all costs. We will subconsciously in some cases, in most cases, consciously in some cases, how we identify who we think we are, that's the end all be all, right? And I started to think like, wow, that really carries over into other aspects. I mean, even, you know, for someone like myself, in my experience, I identified as a young loan officer for a long time. And, you know, up until probably the 17, 18, 19, I was still the youngest loan officer I knew that was writing real business. And I enjoyed that identity of the young loan officer, but I felt like in some ways it held me back because I kind of put myself up against other more established loan officers and kind of subconsciously or just kind of held myself below them or put them on some kind of a pedestal because I identified as a young, new loan officer. The reality was I wasn't young and I wasn't new anymore. I was not those things. Yeah. It took almost a conscious decision. Like, you know what? I'm not the young new loan officer anymore. I am now a far more established, knowledgeable, experienced loan officer. And I started to shift my identity. And a lot of how I did business, how I interacted with people, how I interacted with referral partners, it all started to change. And we have these, sometimes we have agents who identify as, you know, agents who close and make $100,000 a year. And then we have agents that identify as superstars. Mike Cianci, who's going to be a guest at this thing, right? Like he doesn't, that's how he identifies. And any action he takes that's inconsistent with that identity creates a certain level of discomfort. And certainly any threat to that identity is going to be met with extreme defensiveness. And it works both ways, right? Like it works. Like if you identify as a loser, if you identify as unlucky, if you identify as broke, even when opportunities present themselves, those opportunities are actually viewed more as a threat to your central nervous system because it's a threat to your identity. You identify as broke. So why, you know, an opportunity to make money is actually your body, your brain, your subconscious. Like, but am I on track here? Like I'm just rambling, but what are your thoughts on what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Few things. And just as recent, I remember doing this as a sophomore in high school. My football coach, God bless him, Bob Koenig, had us write down statements, I am statements. And just recently reading that rhinoceros book, I wrote down on index cards because it told me to write down on index cards, I am a rhino. I charge a storm. I partner with other rhinos. I have a cloud-based business with over 300 agents in it. I close 10 mortgages a month because I'm a rhino. I'm this. I'm that. And you read it. I read it every morning and every night throughout the day because it's right on my mirror. Everyone is wired differently. And I believe that we can sometimes become, we have the ability to have an alter ego. There was a book called The Alter Ego that I read years ago. And we can step into those different roles. But man, we gotta have, we have to have a strong core and a strong center. So I'll give you an example. If someone were to come up to me and say, "You are a fat loser," I'd probably like look behind me and be like, "What are you talking about?" Number one, it's not true. I don't really think of myself. I don't think of myself that way. But if they came up to me and said something like, "I'll bet you didn't even graduate college," there's like a tiny little piece of me probably laying around somewhere. I don't really feel this way anymore. But if I was having a bad day, I might think, oh, they know the truth about me, that I'm not formally educated, that I'm stupid, that I got thrown out of college. And I might jump back at them. And what I've realized is a lot of our belief systems are based on a couple things. What we heard at the dinner table growing up.
That's huge.
Our experiences, and I'll go over programming in a second. I'm glad we're on this and we didn't even talk about this. Our experience and our Enneagram type.
So, do you think you're born with an Enneagram, or do you think it develops based on your environment?
It's a really good question. I'm going to say, and this is just a gut level thing, I think 80% you're born with it, and you're influenced by 20% of your life experiences.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Sorry.
Yeah, but with kids, just your programming your hard drive from birth, or probably even pre-birth, to 4 years old, 50% of your hard drive is programmed. From 4 to 8, another 35% is programmed. So by the age of 8 years old, 85% of your programming, your hardwired, it's done. From 8 to 18, another 10%. So when you're 18, 95% of your brain is programmed. Now, it can be rewired and reprogrammed through neuroplasticity, but it takes, and I'm the prime example of it, of reprogramming a brain, reprogramming a mind, reprogramming worth, reprogramming a happy life. Yeah.
So you said dinner table, experiences, and Enneagram. Let's talk about the dinner table. And I want to expand that a little bit, because I think that concept of dinner table, I think I know where you're getting at, but there's a couple of others that I think are often overlooked. But talk to me about dinner table. How does a dinner table determine your belief system and i.e. your identity?
Yeah. So the conversations at the dinner table, that's really what that means. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if daddy sits down and says, you know, "What a horrible day. You know, people suck. The world's so unfair," screams at, you know, "Mommy, why did you make this again? This is what we had last night." And mommy's saying, "Well, we can't afford anything else." It's all getting programmed.
How about you sit down at the dinner table and it's just mommy? And because daddy's telling you by not being there that work is more important and he has to be at work, he can't be there for dinner. How does that impact the kid growing up, like in who they become as an adult and as a parent? Humongous.
There's so much that goes into it. And at the same time, we are responsible for it. This is what I know, dude. We all have. We all have something. Mm-hmm. We all have something. And we have to be responsible. There's a great saying out there, and I love it. You are not, and trauma could be, you know, my mom, God bless her, I'm the youngest of seven kids, right? But the way she would, when Eddie was even a little bit of a bad boy, my mother would give me this look of disgust and give me the silent treatment, right? She did the best she could. She didn't know any better. That's the way she was raised. But man, the damage that that can do to a kid of like, wow, my like, it's one thing if mommy's mad at you. It's another thing if mommy's ashamed of you and disgusted by you. So just completely lost my train of thought here. Well, oh, sure. We're not the trauma. Now there's, take trauma, that thing, and multiply it by 10,000. We don't have to talk about all the traumas that go on in the world.
Sure.
But let's just look at them, right? Our trauma is not our fault, but our recovery is our responsibility.
One of the things you talk about, your experience with your parents. I think that an often overlooked part of what shapes our identity is what I call the echoes. The echoes in our head, words that were spoken to us by people we respected, loved, thought were loved us, and in some cases they did, but they're imperfect, right? I'm talking about parents. I'm talking about siblings, friends, pastors, teachers, people who were critical of you, thinking they were doing you a favor by telling you all the things you were doing wrong. That stuff doesn't go in one ear and out the other. It goes in one ear and echoes and bounces around for the rest of your life. And it shows up in the most inopportune times. And I think that when we're talking about identity and how do you rewire, how do you utilize that neuroplasticity, one of those ways is listen for the echo and label it for what it is. Mm-hmm. If you have an insecurity about your face on camera, about your voice, about your weight, about your intelligence, about your ability to sell, about your ability to execute, about your attention to detail, whatever you think your weakness is, chances are all you're experiencing is the echo of a criticism of the past. And if you can label it, maybe it's not true. It's just an echo, right? It's not even a real sound. It's just the echo of the sound. If once you can get a hold of that, that's a game changer when you're trying to rewire.
A memory came up today from 2010. I was a crew member on the fire team for Anthony Robbins. And it's a picture of Eddie and I. He's 13 years old. He's in a cast because he broke his arm. Not at the Anthony Robbins event, but all my kids were 13 years old and walked on fire and did an Anthony Robbins event. And they were just, I wanted to make sure that they had the tools from a very early age that only somebody like Anthony Robbins can teach. And it's so important for the young adults, our kids, our grandkids, to us as adults, man. We are like, again, talk about Mike Cianci. Like every year he goes to Tony Robbins Business Mastery. That is a huge investment. And the reason why he does it is because it's just, again, we become who we're surrounded by. That's it. So when I think about this event coming up, I don't even want to call it, I want to call it an experience. Incredible brains and minds are there. Just some of the best people on planet Earth that just happen to have a real estate license and happen to do really well in real estate. But man, like their whole life is complete. They are machines in the game of life. It's a beautiful thing, man. We become who we're surrounded by.
Yeah, and we attract how we identify. Yeah. Right? We love the affirmative in the, like, Republicans hang out with Republicans, Democrats hang out with Democrats. That's hard coded in our human, biology that we do those things. And the same goes for success, right? That's why I love that. You know, there's not many things that I am as consistent with is our meeting, me and you connecting every week, like this, to talk like this. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the most consistent things I do, mm-hmm, because I want to be around. I want to be connected and next to the people that are going to lift me up and are doing great things and have a great worldview that I want to share that. And that becomes, because I'm surrounded by someone like yourself, becomes more and more of my identity and how I identify. And then all of a sudden people start to recognize it.
You know what? And I learned this from, I can't remember, but one of my coaches, one of my mentors, and whether it's the way somebody thinks, the way somebody votes, somebody's beliefs. And this is where I'm like, wow, I'm really evolving. Instead of getting emotional or like, well, why, start asking what's been your experience that makes you want to vote this way or think this way. And what happens is it's the most beautiful thing in the world, dude. We really start to understand each other. And I had such a wonderful conversation with somebody the other day. And when you can uncover someone's true experiences and their fears, you really start to understand human beings. And it's just like, I'm very grateful that I've been led down this road to be able to have this experience. And man, I don't know that Ed and Ken's mini podcast can bring people together who have different beliefs or vote different ways or whatever. This is what I choose to believe. About 95% of us are right here. And it doesn't matter if we voted for him, her, what our belief, we're right here. I want the best for people. People want the best for me. The majority really do.
But Ed, you have to tell yourself that. I have to tell myself that regularly. And there are not enough people out there that tell themselves that. There are too many people out there that say, people want the best for them and they don't want the best for me. That is a belief structure that is embedded in so many people, unfortunately.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question with like, has anyone ever in your career, maybe a family member, a friend said, dude, you're working way too much, or like, is all you care about is money, or something like that, whatever the question may be.
I'll tell you a quick story. Virginia, 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, me and my brothers were sitting in the basement at my dad's house. We're drinking beer and listening to music, and which was one of our favorite. I mean, it's what we love to do, right? And if it goes on too long, it always turns into a fight, but we'll talk about that on another day.
Of course.
But a song came on the radio, and my brother Phil says, oh, turn this up. This one reminds me of Kenny. And I'm like, what song is it? It's Vienna by Billy Joel. I'm like, Ed never even heard the song before. And I'm a pretty big Billy Joel fan. Maybe I wasn't as big of a Billy Joel fan then, but I had never heard the song before. And both of my brothers said, yeah, this one reminds me of Kenny. And in the, you know, in this song, it talks about, you know, slow down and you're working too hard and turn off the phone. And, you know, it hit me like a ton of bricks, man. It's a core memory of mine. And it was a turning point in my life where I'm like, wow, this is how my brothers view me. Now, on some level, I'm proud, right? Oh, they see me as a hard worker. But on the other hand, I'm like, is this really how everybody views me? And am I really going down the right path? Mm-hmm. If I need to be told by my brothers, like, yo, you got to take it easier, you're going to kill yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yes, that has happened to me.
Yeah. And a lot of times like that can be, we can take that as almost being offended by it. And we could even think like maybe our ego would take over and go, you guys are just jealous of me. Like, just do what I do. But the reality is the core is people really care. And that's why they're saying something like that. And, but if we can just, you know, one of the four agreements, don't take anything personal, good or bad.
Yeah.
Our lives become so much easier, man. So much easier. And we're just not as, our lives just become more peaceful.
Peaceful. And you replace taking things personal with curiosity, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
That's when things get even more interesting.
Yeah. If we viewed somebody just as a harmed child, right? Now I'm probably going to go run somebody off the road 10 minutes from now when I'm driving down the street. They're like, don't let me fool you, Kenny boy. Like,
I like that though.
When I'm on, you know, walking in the Publix, there's somebody storming the door. They're not going to beat me to the door. Like, they woke up this morning and said, I'm going to get in front of Ed Fordyce walking in the Publix, right?
For those of you that aren't, the Publix is like Acme.
Acme, say it right. Acme. But if I can just go, oh, wow, like the angst on their face. I wonder if they have a sick child at home and they need to get a prescription. Like, let me smile at them and just say, hey, man, I love your shirt. That's a cool, hey, I'm a Billy Joel fan. I love that shirt. Like, that's awesome. Like, everything can change. Really, really cool.
You mentioned one. So let's finish off the thought for those of people who haven't read the book. The Four Agreements is in my top five. It's in my Mount Rushmore of, which I guess be top four of books, but be impeccable with your word, which I have internalized as control the conversation that you're having with yourself. Don't gossip. Don't talk out of school. Two, don't take anything personal.
Mm-hmm.
Make no assumptions and always try your best. Mm-hmm. And whenever you're in a spot where you're uncomfortable or upset or angry, especially angry, ask yourself, which one of those four rules am I breaking right now? Chances are you'll figure out which one it is pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, this was cool, man. This was for me. You know, it's all about me. It's all about me.
That's the only reason why I come on. Look, I even dressed up for you, man. I got my, I can't it. Wait. This is my outfit for all next week when I'm in PA, man.
Yes.
I don't like wearing coats.
I got to hand it to Rich, man. His gear is pretty good. It's high quality gear.
I like it.
All the Princeton stuff is good stuff, man.
I think we'll keep him around for a while. Yeah.
Yes. All right, man. Let's real quick. We're going to leave our people with a couple of the simple tactics for the week. The action items for the week. And I think it's, if you're still here, congratulations, you're going to get them. What are the four things the agents can do this week?
Yeah, they can do them every week.
Every week.
One email to your whole database. Deal of the week. All it is a picture of a house. You put that picture of the house with the town that it's in and the price. No address, no details, really. Just here's the deal of the week. It's amazing the calls you get on that. Number two, a CMA or a Zestimate of the day, right? You do that for 90 days, you're going to get a handful of listings. If you need any clarification with this, just reach out to Ken or I. Three open houses a week. You need a business plan? You don't know anybody? Sit three open houses a week. We've got the holidays coming up. 60 days of gratitude. Write two handwritten notes every day for the next 60 days. And I'm tripling down on every time you go to text somebody, stop and hit audio. right? There's a whole, there's a big, or video, even better. Video text, audio text, most of the time. There you have it.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, man. This was one of our longer episodes, which is awesome. Hopefully we get this out before the event, which I'm hoping we do. The event is on the 10th. I'm going to push to get this thing out before the end of the week. We'll put the invitation and the event right in the show notes, and hopefully we'll see everybody at this event. It's going to be a banger.
Yeah, it is.
I'm excited. Enjoy your week, my friend.
Yeah, brother. See you, man.